Hold on, my brain just fell out of my head. You might have to start this one.
Hey, everybody. I'm Crew.
And I'm Bex.
Welcome to Wenches of the Round Table.
Man, I feel like I want to go jousting.
Every time I say that, I'm like, I need some Monty Python gear.
Right. And you know, I've never seen Monty Python.
Ever. We're going to have to watch that.
I know.
I love Monty Python.
Right. Yeah. And I love medieval. Like, give me a dragon. I'll ride off into the sunset, you know?
Yes. Game of Thrones it up for me.
Right. You know? Right. So.
Welcome on today's episode.
On today's episode.
We're going to be talking about Bex.
Really. Me.
Bible Belt lesbians is today's subject.
Wait. That means I'm a lesbian,
bum,
right?
Bum bum.
Oh man.
Bex, are you gay?
Last time I checked, yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty gay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In so many good ways. I'm happy you're finally gay.
Finally gay, bitch. I've always been gay.
So that was like the first question I asked you. I feel like whenever we came back together and our friendship rekindled whenever you moved back home.
I think it was actually. You asked me, have you come out yet?
I actually said, how did your parents take it when you came out? Because I was concerned because of my experience with Bible Belt lesbians. Mm-hmm. So, can we first say kudos to mom and dad?
Oh, God. Listen.
Oh, my God.
No, my mom and dad are fantastic.
They really are. So, tell me that story.
It was bad.
Was it bad because your anxiety or?
No, it was bad because of the situation that I found myself in that made me have to tell them. Like, you know, obviously telling them was my choice. I could have just kept lying.
How many years were you for sure knowingly in the closet before you came out? I think that's an important thing too. Like from the first time you thought I might really be attracted to women.
29 years.
29 years mm-hmm. before you came out.
Yeah, and I'm 32, so my
whole
life.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, because I came out in 2020.
Wow.
And it was the beginning of 2020.
That's way more recent than I thought it would have been because I knew you were gay in high school.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no, it was not a surprise to anyone. And, like, that's what's funny is, like, you know, back to my parents. They're so great. And I was terrified my whole life. Terrified. Absolutely terrified. Because, you know, I grew up in a religious household. Yeah. You know, my both sets of grandparents were pastors and deacons and
that's
what have you.
Common here is to be terrified because you get disowned.
Southern Baptist, too. You know, the Southern Baptist Convention will get you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Send you straight off to conversion therapy.
Oh, I know, right? Which, thankfully, you know, yes, my parents were religious and, you know, they have their upbringing and things. But the grace that they handled it with. And I guess I should just tell the story. It'll give the context. So I was home for Christmas. I lived in Texas at the time. I was in grad school.
I'll be home for Christmas.
That was the first time I flew by myself, too.
Oh, that would have made me puke by yourself.
I loved it. And I got lost in the Dallas-Fort Worth airport.
It gives me the
I took the wrong
rumble guts. Like, I really want to pass out.
I loved it.
If I could take that stuff that Michael Jackson took before I got on the plane.
Do you want to die?
Some days.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. But no, I came home for Christmas. And at the time, I had met somebody online, you know, infamous, typical long distance relationship lesbian, of course.
Yeah. And that's the safety net, I feel like. That's every beginner lesbian.
Oh, 100%. It has to be online from like Tumblr or something.
Yeah.
Right. Lo and behold. But no, so I'd met this girl. We had really great chemistry. I really, really, really liked her. Plot twist, she's in Canada. Yeah, she was in Canada.
That makes me think of the things off of South Park that just like open their whole head to talk. Was she that way?
Her voice was very high.
Ooh.
It was very high. Like
yodely?
No, like Tinkerbell Princess.
That's so judgmental. Yeah. And I know everybody looks at us like we're no shoe wearing hillbillies.
Which
and I am
100%.
I am. Y'all just admit it to yourselves. It's who you are.
Mm-hmm. I have dirt between my toes and I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But,
I can feel it.
But no, so I had met her, and she was the person that I decided I'm going to come out to my parents for her. Like, I like her that much because, you know, we had plans to meet typical, you know, and you know where this is going. You know, yeah, exactly where this is going. But I did know she was real. I wasn't being catfished. We FaceTimed constantly. So I know she existed. She was a real person. Also have been catfished, but that's another story for another time.
I catfished.
Me too. I did that too. And that was my karma, honestly, was being catfished as bad as I was. This wasn't her though. But so I came home for Christmas, was talking to this girl, and things were fine. Like, great. And then she ghosted me.
No.
Like, just cold turkey. We were having a conversation.
And you had already came out for her?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
No. So, we're setting it up. So, she ghosted me, and I was distraught. Like, and it's, looking back, it's probably 100% my fault, because, like, I was so desperate to love somebody that I just...
The clinger.
Oh, God.
The full clinger. Mm-hmm.
Stage 5.
You're like, oh, my God, this girl actually likes me, and this is my first time.
Yeah, like, no, like, 100%. And it was my fault. Like, I mean, I'm sure she had some issues in there, too, but I'll accept responsibility for that one. So I ran her off because I liked her too much. And of course, I spiraled. Like, I full, like, suicidal spiraled.
How old were you?
29.
29 when this happened.
Yeah.
And it was like your first real,
feeling
relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oof. And so I was just broken.
That's one of the biggest differences that I've seen between me, who I guess I would be bi-curious labeled if I told people all of my insides, but as somebody who's the outside looking in on the alphabet community, I see that's very common, that your first real relationship is like further on in adulthood, especially around here, evidently. Mm-hmm.
Well, because the dating pool is very, very
and
slim.
A lot of, I feel like, straight people, they have their first meltdown at 16. So, like, the experience difference that you get there, mm-hmm. and the want to have what these people are having because they're typical people and feeling like an outside, mm-hmm. and whatever. I know that's really hard, but that seems like a huge difference between the straight community and the alphabet community, is just when your first relationship really starts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it hits hard.
It does.
And it is for everybody. Everybody's got that first love who fucked them up.
Oh, God. Yeah. And then some of us just continue to pick people that fuck us up. But
you didn't learn your lesson on the first one. Oh, I didn't either, most of the time.
I was Rickrolled on the second one. But
Rickrolled?
Either way. So I was very, very upset. And my parents observed that. You know, they're like...
Because they're great.
Yeah. Like, they're like, what's going on? And I told them, I was like, my friend just ghosted me. Like, but, you know, my friend. And I'll never forget, Mom... Like, she just looked at me, and this was it. She goes, why is this friend so special that you're so depressed? Mm. And I just
called her right out.
I looked at it, because we were sitting on the big red couch in there, and I just looked at her, and I told her, don't ask me questions you don't want the answer to.
Yeah.
And she goes, what if I already know?
We knew.
And I'm just waiting for you to tell me.
Aw.
And I said, Mom, I'm gay. I loved her, and she ghosted me, and I'm really sad. You know, there were a few more words in there than that, but, and I'm like, I'm sad, you know, and she just held me.
Do you think it would have been different if you were 18 and came out to them in a happy moment? Like, you found what you thought was your soulmate. Would she have been more disapproving, or was it the fact that her mom took over because you were in peril?
I think it was because that was it. I was so distraught and so upset that they just... We don't care that's
love
happening.
Comes
you're
first.
Hurt. Yeah, and you're my Always. You're my child,
well,
and you're hurt.
I think that you didn't give them the opportunity to do
I didn't. That. And that, you know, that's a disservice to them. Yeah. I spent my whole life thinking that they would disown me.
But that's because that's all we see.
Mm-hmm.
We see it in our friends. So many of our friends don't have parents because they can't.
Right.
Out.
I'm very blessed. Like,
your parents are so great.
And then dad came home, mom called him and said, get home now. And he came running. They'd already had the conversation. They'd known.
Lord knows they've been talking about it for years.
They had
it.
And they had mom already told accepted me, it. Mom told me, she goes, your dad knew before I did.
Of course he
did. Way before I did.
Yeah.
And, which, you know, was hard on me because I grew up actively listening to, we don't like gay people. We would rather you get pregnant and come home than be a lesbian. Like, you know, it was hard growing up. I didn't feel accepted. I didn't feel like I had a place to tell them, you know, this is who I am. Like,
that's also, I feel like, a little bit like generational directioning people. Because there's been gays in my family since.
Oh, yeah. Every generation has one.
All the way back.
Both sides.
And I know that in some ways, there's people that in my family that whenever they came out, they lost everything.
Yeah.
And then they're like, look, see what this does to you.
Yeah, stay in the closet.
They use it as a lesson in a way. Like, it's very, very narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
And we're used to seeing that. Not that, like, our parents were always that way and they didn't love us underneath all of that, but just because the Bible Belt.
Yeah, how they were raised, you know.
It's a big deal.
Deep. You know, Bible roots.
So and that's real scary coming
it is.
Out.
And you know, like, while I may not be, you know, organized religiously, you know, I respect their beliefs. I believe that, you know, that I'm not going to, you know, find fault for them with them for what they believe and what they are okay with. Like, yeah, you know, it may not line up with what I think, but that's what makes us different people.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It doesn't make me love my parents.
You have your beliefs, I'll have mine. Let's not hurt each other.
No, and there's no excuse for that. And, you know, my parents have been great, and I'm very blessed. And I've found in my experience, you know, because I've only been out since, you know, I guess 4 years now. I've been out for a long time, but publicly, unapologetically for 4 years.
Yeah, with confidence.
With confidence, yeah, because I don't care anymore.
Have you screamed it yet? I'm a lesbian.
Oh, absolutely. I out the sunroof, 100%.
God, that took so long.
It did. Yeah. But it was so, it was, you talk about a burden being lifted. And now, you know, there's still uncomfortable conversations. We don't talk about it. And it's been acknowledged and it's there. And
I don't want my parents in my bed with me.
No. And that's, you know, that's nobody's business anyway.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess that's my outlook. Like And why I've had such a hard time with losing a lot of my family members. Like, it's me, my mom and dad, you know.
Yeah.
My family has, most of them have abandoned me.
Yeah.
Now I have a couple that, you know, they're wary, but we still talk.
Yeah.
And then others that don't speak to me at all.
Well, I mean, we were born and raised that, you know, you're going to hell and
exactly.
Not to hang out with people that go to hell, you know.
And you know what? Like, if that's what sends me to hell, if loving somebody sends me to, girl.
Yeah.
That's the least of my problems.
Right? I feel that so hard. I remember you in high school, and that's like, I think I knew, but I would have never told you because you were so hard into the religious.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
You know, and don't just don't.
You were chasing, this dude
lost.
Around, and it was like,
oh, God,
I wanted to puke about it.
Listen, I want to puke thinking about it.
Yeah, it was so much.
It's so sad. Like,
what is your like gay horror story in high school that you realize now was because you were gay? Or like any kind of stories behind like what happened with even our friends that were very gay in high school.
Well, I mean, even, you know, I guess I'd put on some blinders to it, and because I honestly don't sit here and look at people and go, oh, you're gay, are you straight, are you gay? I don't care. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me. So I never sought out, and maybe it was just me being closeted and not thinking I would ever have an open life, you know. I never really paid attention to my peers and what their sexual orientation was, other than the ones that were very flamboyant about it. I just didn't pay, you know, I didn't care.
Yeah.
I paid more attention to if you were nice to me or not.
Which I think's important.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of you weren't. But,
yeah,
you know,
I think
like,
that's really how we're supposed to be as humanity. Who gives a fuck what you look like?
No,
or what you
because
do?
It's none of my business.
If you have kindness and love in your heart, it doesn't
exactly.
really matter.
Well, and, you know, it's very cliche to say, but if you're not fucking me, financing me, or feeding me, you don't have a place.
Fuck yes.
You know, like, mind your business, stay fuck over off. There, and fuck off. Yeah. And I'm going to live my life, because I am not, I am more, and this goes for any person of the alphabet community, you know, I'm more than a lesbian. I'm Bex, you know, I'm a friend, I'm a great friend,
I don't do labels either.
No, like,
and that's when people ask me, like, my political beliefs and all that stuff, and I'm like, hi, I'm crew.
Yeah.
This is what we do.
Right, like, it's not...
Yeah, I don't want a label. Don't put me under it's with a very... other people. I'm my own self.
Yes. It's a very small part of who I am and who you are.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
It because doesn't.
Because that's between me and my partner, or you and your husband, or whoever. It ain't between me and my mama.
Yeah.
Or you and your best friend.
Well,
you know?
You're not being colonist about it.
No.
Like, you're not going out and being like, hey, come to the dark side.
No, even though, I mean, they think we're like...
delicious cookies.
Well, I don't know. People, well, we do.
Some people really don't, cookies. But...
I can make some pretty good cookies.
I wasn't talking about those cookies, but okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, I wish... Like, I look at the person that I am now, and I wish I could take her back to high school with me, because I would have wiped the floor.
Wipe
I would have
the
wiped
floor.
The floor with all of you.
You'd have been clotheslining bitches on that
oh,
volleyball
absolutely.
Net
other than myself.
Of yourself.
Listen, oh my God. That was the crowning moment of my volleyball career.
I won't let her live it down.
Listen,
here.
I, what even, were we running drills? What were we doing?
We were constantly running.
Because we were bad.
Coach,
we were bad, too.
I don't think we were that bad.
Maybe she hated us.
I think that it was a very judgmental thing because
probably.
We are bigger ladies.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, you need to run.
And honestly,
when really,
I
we
couldn't.
Worked out every day.
Yeah, you and I were at the YMCA pumping
every
iron.
Every single day. And we were eating Subway. We
mm-hmm.
were doing all the right things. And
yeah,
we were
just
still
big bitches.
Fat as fuck.
Yeah.
But
thick with three C's.
Thick.
And you know what's even better? And this is so off topic. Our coach, you remember her name. I'm not going to say it, but you remember her name,
yeah.
Right? And for the longest time, you remember how it was spelled?
Yes.
Okay. And I didn't know, you know, in my little baby Bex era, I didn't know what that word meant. So I kept calling her the incorrect pronunciation of her name and could not understand why she was angry. And now going back, I'm like, oh.
You know, that's my favorite cuss word.
Yeah. It rhymes with runts, in case anybody's wondering.
Yeah.
You know, but like.
I say it in front of the kids sometimes and I feel really bad about it.
Know?
They ask me sometimes what words mean and I
mm-hmm.
tell them. They
well,
haven't
I mean,
asked me that one yet, but I know it's coming one day.
It is. It is. I think there's like some sort of movement to reclaim
but
that.
But I
word.
Also call people dicks too. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's
no different.
It's no different than calling someone a pussy.
Right.
You know?
I'd
like,
rather
it's just
hear
a little bit more harsh.
The C word.
You know?
I try not to say it.
No. And
because
we,
it disturbs ears.
It does. It's a very brash
I
word.
Like disturbing the peace sometimes,
oh,
though.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, but yeah. So that was serious. That's the very serious.
Did you ever have anybody ask you if you were gay before you came out?
Oh, God, all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course I'd get so ungodly defensive.
Would
no,
you?
Of course not.
Did it make you think hard about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like I always knew
that you were
that
going
I was
to hell.
Different. Yeah.
Okay. Me too. I think
yes.
that's why we get along
yeah,
so well.
I did always know. right. Oh,
we
goodness.
Spent most of our life in church, and here we are.
Sinning.
Sitting in the heat of the hellfire.
Right? Yeah, this house is very hot.
I sang in the choir.
Me too. I was a drummer.
I love church. I love the community behind it. It was just like, you know how you described how why we stopped talking in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like church made me feel that way.
Yeah.
Like,
well, 'cause it,
and I removed myself from it.
And like, that's the hard part. And, you know, since being back home, you know, my parents found a church to go to and they found somewhere that they belong and they love it and it's
yeah.
fantastic. And they found their community and they want to share that with me. Like, they want me to go. And I do go. But it's very nerve-wracking to me because I swore I would never set foot in a church again, yeah. ever.
But it's like similar to getting invited to the family cookout with your best friend, mm-hmm. going to a situation like that.
Yeah, I'm going to support them. Yeah. Because they, and, you know, if I pick up something from it, great. But it
morally, there's some great lessons that there go are. On there.
And, you know, and I hadn't been, you know, prior to, you know, starting to go to church with my parents for, like, different events and things, you know, prior to that, you know, I got very combative with what my beliefs were because I was tired of people pushing things down my throat. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I believe what you're telling me because I don't. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you. But you're not going to talk down at me and tell me that what I think is wrong.
Right.
I mean, it might be wrong, but well, that's
as
fine.
Somebody who has, like, autism, and I mean both of us really do, mm-hmm. let's just lay it straight. But as somebody who has autism, whenever we read words, because it's not that we haven't read the Bible. No. It's just, it has almost a whole different meaning to us who read in a neurodivergent fashion. Like, some of us see pictures and movies in our head, and some of us read a word and have a different experience behind mm-hmm. it, and it means something different. And I think, if anything, that, like, the original books and stuff were wrote to be interpreted personally. And whenever you're preaching to a crowd of thousands of people, there's going to be people that you miss. Not everybody's included. Just like the bullshit No Child Left Behind Act. Like, fuck that. I was so far left behind.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So
in so many ways, too. Like,
I wrote stories about what was happening in my childhood for schoolwork.
And who called and texted?
Nobody.
Nobody.
And so, like, fuck that shit. Uh-huh. Anyways.
You know, and it is, you know, like, sorry, I know we're branded as, like, comedy and things, but, like, it is funny. We can poke fun and make fun of button downs and Justin Boots. But
I think it's hard. Mm-hmm. And we're recognizing that it's hard, and we're creating laughter around it because we've been through it. You're not alone. This
not
place
in the least.
Fucking sucks, man. Mm-hmm.
And people are mean.
Yeah.
Everyone's so mean.
And we're choosing to rebel against that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And I think that's beautiful, mm-hmm. honestly. So.
And, like, I think the biggest thing that I've learned since coming out and since living my life unapologetically is that it's okay for other people to have opinions.
How do you feel now? I think that's important compared to, like, whenever you first met that first girl who made you want to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to who you were then, how do you feel that you've grown since then in that short 4 years that you've been out?
Well, I think it all centers around, like, not feeling like I have to lie about it. And, like, I wasn't necessarily lying. I just wasn't.
You were living behind a mask.
Yeah. And.
Mask off. Mask off.
Right? Cue the song if you wouldn't have to get copyrighted for it. But, you know, like, a lot of growth has taken place over the last, you know, 4 years. And, you know, going through the experiences that I've gone through, which I'm sure at some point in this journey we will unravel those. They're not, that one will have a trigger warning on it, but.
Unfortunately, trauma equals growth mm-hmm. for some of us.
Yeah, and as bad as things have been since coming out in my romantic life, I've grown as a human because I've learned that it's okay that I take up space.
Yeah.
The space that I take up is important and it's valid. And people, it drives me nuts. Like, this whole cancel culture bullshit drives me insane. Like, how can you be a well-rounded individual if you don't accept people that have differences of opinion than you?
Yeah.
That's how I become, you know, that's fine. You know, I've got, you know, heck, I made a Facebook post the other day. I've got people on my friends list with felonies. I've got people that are Trump, hardcore Trump supporters, hardcore Biden supporters, people that don't give a fuck, pro-life, pro-choice. Like, I've got everyone.
Everybody.
And you have to meet people where they're at. Like, you can't just throw them off a bridge because you don't like it.
Right.
And I guess I think I've grown a lot in that way, in being more accepting of my own
different
struggles and everyone else's
too. Yeah. Because your opinions are molded by your experiences. And that's why I feel like it's so wrong to be like, it's either right or wrong, no, or black or white. There's so much
gray area.
And yeah, I've always lived in that gray. And I come from a very black and white belief system and family. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. very, you're this or you're that.
Or you're
you
nothing.
Can't be in between.
Yep.
If you're in between, there's something wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't be wishy-washy like that.
No.
And I How stand in you? The between on yeah. everything, honestly. And the thing is that I just want to do what I want.
Right.
You know, and what makes me feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people see that as, well, this isn't societal standard.
You're selfish.
And it's selfish. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing good coming from you. Well, let me tell you
right.
about what I do on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
How many people I have helped. How many people I have lifted up from the depths of hell while you're sitting in church pointing fingers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got three pointing back at
Come
you.
Come at me, bro.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Anyways, so your gay journey sounds tragic. How's it now?
Normal.
What's normal for you?
Like, well, maybe normal is a
better
word.
Describe normal. What
peaceful?
Feels good.
Peaceful is a better is a better word.
Accepting.
Yes, because open. Like, you know, I can live like. I don't have anything lurking, like, dig all you want.
Yeah.
You're not going to find anything because I've already told everyone about it, you know? And if anything, it gives me the confidence to be me because all my dirty laundry's out there. And it's not dirty.
Yeah.
My laundry.
Because you've washed it.
Yeah. My laundry's clean. My britches is hanging out there on the line. Mm-hmm.
And the
flapping.
Laundry that's still dirty is inside where it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
People, like, some of my family members have called me out for putting my dirty laundry on the internet. But the thing is, like, the amount of people that have reached out to me in my messenger and other ways to say, I can relate to you and your content really helps me. And it leads me in a good direction. And I have better days. And, like, I'm doing things to heal and all these things. Like,
right.
those people, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
If I save one person, I'm doing more than mm-hmm. I was put here to do, yeah. I feel like I was put here to just be selfish because that's how most people are.
Well, yeah. Well, that's how, you know, and that's how we're going. You
yeah.
know, is very a self-centered, and, you know, as a people pleaser, that's difficult.
Yeah, I've never been able to sit behind my own nose. I've always been out there looking at everybody. It's been a defense mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had to watch what kind of mood my mom was in to figure out if I was safe or not.
Yeah.
And being that aware of everything has really helped. And I think now leading other people to awareness and calling themselves out, and I don't have to lift a finger.
Mm-mm.
I just tell people my stories and they're like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. You know, it helps because I am who I am. You are who you are. Like, the people that accept you will gravitate to you.
Yeah.
They will gravitate to your energy. And
they do.
You know,
just be you.
Yeah. And like, that's that right there is the biggest takeaway is, like, you know, just be me. Like, I've been trying to be somebody else for so long based on everyone else.
The ex-Christian, now lesbian. It's just Bex.
Yeah, it's just me.
Because there's so, it's so much deeper than that. Mm-hmm. And there's so much different meaning than just Bex the lesbian,
oh,
you
God,
know, the
yeah.
Bible Belt lesbian.
The Bible Belt lesbian.
Which gives it a little more context.
Yeah.
And so, like, I feel like there's so many different types of Bible Belt lesbians. What's your category?
God.
There's, like, I feel like there's the...
I feel like I fit into so many categories.
There's really a lot. You're multi...
I'm a pie chart.
Multifaceted.
I'm a pie chart. You call me a diamond.
Shame bright.
Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. a diamond. Yeah, exactly.
I can't see that.
I can't pin myself
You can't label
down.
Yourself.
Well, because, like, I can come out of here in a prom dress, or I can come out of here in ripped off
jeans. It just depends on the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not multiple personality
no,
disorder.
No, it's just... this is what... Well, and, like, now, you know... Even just how I dress and things. Like, I just dress whatever I feel like. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not dressing up for you.
It's what I feel like in the morning.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And if my mood changes, I'll change. But, you get what you get.
I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for me. I don't. And the thing is yeah, I do put clothes on for other people. I would be one of those naked people that would just walk around completely naked if it weren't
for society. Honestly, I would walk around naked outside so people would pay me to put my clothes back on.
Right. There's sometimes that I want to be out of my own skin. I want to peel my skin off of my body.
That's the tism.
And like having to put clothes on some days is really hard. But some days I look like I have this like linen dress that's really, it's almost
your moo moo. Listen,
favorite thing.
Everyone, every woman, and men if you want.
I wear it out though.
I know you do, and I love it. Yeah. Get a moo moo. Okay, I have never.
Several.
I got my first moo moo 2 years ago. Okay. And I was like, I'm not wearing that. I'm not putting that on. I'm going to look like Chelsea.
And you get
Lynn.
It really long so you can tuck it under the titties. The
titties as they hang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got one and it was purple. And let me tell you.
You look so good in purple.
Listen, you should have seen them. Two cats in a sack fighting on my chest is what it looked like. It was fantastic. Yeah. That moo moo. All I needed was a Pall Mall or a Virginia Slim.
And a PBR.
And a PBR. I don't like PBR.
I love
maybe
PBR.
Some Bush. No, because when I was in college, we had a
Bush.
Yeah, Bush in the Hunter Orange can.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You talk about bubble guts.
I do love a PBR though.
I never had it.
I'm Trailer Park Tammy for sure.
Well, that's the next episode.
Or Trailer Park Tina.
Tina.
Is what
pick,
it is.
Pick your tea, girl. Pick your tea.
Hmm. Trina.
Trina. No, you're a Trina.
I love Trina.
Me too. What is it? Don't Trip. Her and Lil Wayne. I almost rapped that at the senior talent show, but I didn't want to be ostracized.
Did I do the talent show?
No, but our friend did. One of our friends did.
Yeah.
You know, some nice
was that
serenading.
Yeah. I know who were. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It was. What else happened? I think didn't
there was a funny boy skit, but I can't remember who all was in it.
Wasn't it the popular boys?
Yeah, some it was of them. The popular ones.
A couple of them. Yeah.
Were they mean to you?
Oh God, yeah.
None of them were ever mean to me.
Well, it's because you were hot back then and really scary. Yeah, you were scary.
I look
in high
back
school.
At my pictures and I'm like, ugh, you're so fat, and I wonder people didn't like you. That's Are you telling me that people liked me?
Yeah.
I'm gonna need a vote on that because maybe. I've been told by so many people that I'm mean.
You are mean.
What's mean about me?
You have a mean face. You have that RBF real bad. You don't have a mean face. That's wrong. You have RBF really bad. But you're not mean. You're just blunt. Back then, Broken Kristen was mean.
Broken Kristen was an asshole.
Broken Kristen was scary.
I had already been in therapy for years at that point.
Yeah, no. The girl that straightened my hair in my bedroom while we played on the PS2, and you hit me with that straightener because I wouldn't hold my head still. Yeah.
I treated
that, Kristen, how your mother treated you.
People treated
me. You whacked me in the head, and then you straightened my bangs out, stick straight, from my forehead. They stuck out. You remember that episode of Boy Meets World?
Was it your mom that was upset because I did permanent damage to your hair doing that?
No, that was not me. Okay. Mom didn't care.
There was somebody else. I've been doing this my whole life. I went to cosmetology school and fixed those problems, by the way.
Good, because you...
I don't hit people
based on what I know. Based on what I know.
But I do give really good blowjobs. Blowouts.
Oh. You know, that just stopped me in my tracks. That just, I wish that the look on my face could have just translated. Oh, no. Oh, my God.
I'm so good at what I do.
Are they Brazilian?
I can do a Brazilian blowout. I don't like all those chemicals. Do you know you have to wear a full respirator for those?
No.
I'm really a conundrum because I work in a very wasteful industry, and I'm trying so hard to not be wasteful. I've like recycled so many things. I thrift my things.
Yeah, you do.
Like I really try to take care of the earth doing what I'm doing. And I even talked my lash company that we use. Her and I talked about it whenever I first met her. I was like, these need to be in cardboard boxes, baby. We can't be doing this. Yeah. And it changed.
Check your footprint.
Yeah. So I'm constantly trying to put myself in check and keep myself straight. And I work in such a wasteful industry. And I feel like we can do better.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah.
I was thinking, you know how you asked, like, the defining, like, a horror story, like, a gay horror story?
Give me you your want gay one? I just thought about story.
It.
Yeah.
I thought about it. So, and we'll just, we'll end on this note, because, you know, nothing will trump this.
like, I got this I one got in this the bag. One.
So, okay, when I was in college the first time, all right, good old first-timey baby, I started really, okay, I'm gay. This is it. Like, I'm going to attempt.
Experiment.
Yeah, I'm going to see what happens.
I kissed a girl once.
Was it Katy Perry?
It wasn't.
Oh, that's really disappointing.
I've kissed multiple girls.
Actually. That song really did it for me, too. That song really, coming out, yeah.
Is that like your Shania Twain? Like,
yeah. No, Katy Perry, first and foremost, Katy Perry.
Redneck woman. That's your redneck woman.
Yeah, she's my redneck woman.
That's not Shania Twain.
That's Gretchen Wilson.
Gretchen.
But, old girl.
Old
I saw
girl.
Her on something the other day.
She's
anyway.
Hot.
But
I love her.
But, no, so I decided I was going to do that. And this was at the height. So this was 2011. Somewhere 12, I believe, junior year. And Tumblr was at its peak, right? And I had a hefty following on Tumblr, right? I was queen lesbian on Tumblr because, you know, I could hide behind a gray face and not yeah. tell anybody and be who I wanted to be, right? So I found out one of the girls that I had a crush on had a Tumblr,
ooh.
Right? And just for the record, this was in person. She existed. Was flesh and blood in front of my face.
I know she was real.
Yeah. So I found out that she had a Tumblr because she was friends with my best friend at the time. Well, at the time, we're still best friends. And so he was like, I told him, I was just like, I have a crush on like this person, you know, can you like plug me? You know, like can you
get
like,
me in there?
Get me in there, you know? And he's like, Becky, she's an all. No. No, no. She, no.
He already knew.
He already knew.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but she's so pretty. You know, aww. Like, she's so pretty. And I want to, like, I want to take her to Steak and Shake, you know? Like, because that was the mm-hmm. epitome. Those shoestring fries will get anybody.
Oh, my God. I love Steak and Shake.
Oh, God, I'm hungry.
I go but, there too often.
Right. I've not been in a million years. But anyway. So he's like, fine. Yeah, I'll do it. And
sponsor us.
But, so I find out that she has a Tumblr and I follow her and she follows me back. Okay. And I wish that you could have seen just the absolute party I threw for myself when I got that notification.
Yeah.
I probably still have the screenshot of it somewhere on my old iPod Touch version 2 or whatever came out in 2009. But so I found that out. We started talking on Tumblr and I got her Snap. That was right when Snapchat first came out. And so we started snapping and blah, blah. There's a little bit of chemistry there. And I told her, I was just like, hey, like, you know, I'm friends with your friend. Like, we know. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we connected a little bit over that. I got the bright idea because I saw it in a fucking movie. I saw, oh, God. And, you know, the intention was there. It yeah. really was. The execution was poor. Okay. Yeah. So
you were really sheltered. And
I was. And I didn't know how to approach people. I did not know how to do anything of the sort. I could not even speak. I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror and talk. Like, that's how. I dropped out of my public speaking class and took it online.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad I was back then. Yeah. So. But. So I got the bright idea. I went and bought an orchid.
Oh.
An orchid. Okay, oh. Very, very pretty orchid. Those
are so romantic.
Right? And they're expensive.
Yeah, they are.
They're expensive. This is just setting up for the rest of my life.
I've killed every orchid I've ever owned.
I kill most plants. But, so I went and bought an orchid. And I knew where she would be because, like, I knew the schedule because of my friend, right? So I took this orchid to where she was at. I don't even want to say it. It's embarrassing. No, so I took this orchid to where she was at, and there was a piano in the hallway of the building she was in. And I set the orchid on the piano, and I wrote like a note. You know, I wrote a note, stuck it on there, and left it for her. And then I snapped her, and I was just like, hey, go check the piano. And somewhere in that moment, something got mistranslated. I don't know what happened, but it didn't go over well. It did not go over well. And
that's so cute.
No, it went badly. Like,
why?
I don't know. I still to this day, because honestly,
what
and maybe
was her response like?
Oh, she got angry and then blocked me.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
She was on Tumblr. But she didn't see you as somebody she would
have. I guess. I mean, I can't speak for her. I don't know. Yeah. I have no idea. And maybe, I mean, I'm sure at the time this was probably
he
creepy.
Told you not to.
He did. I mean, I should have listened. But it was very probably creepy because she had no idea that I knew where they were, I guess. You know, like, and it was just, there were so many things
there
wrong.
There's so many people out there that would have appreciated that notion, though.
Right. It's I would have. I would have been like, that was cute.
And exactly.
She did not. It
you
fell
love
flat.
How you want to be loved. And I think that it's good that it fell flat because that's not how she wouldn't have been able to love you in the ways that you needed loved.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that fell flat.
Damn.
But, you know, I tried.
You're so corny.
I know.
And I love every single. Your partner's so lucky. But I know
I'm
you're
the lucky,
lucky
one.
Too.
Oh, I'm the lucky
she's
one
great.
With her. Yeah,
she's really awesome.
I could not. I hit the ball out of the park.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's how my lesbian dating life started. Was being ghosted over an orchid and a piano. And if she hears this, she's gonna know. And I'm so sorry. I promise I'm not crazy. I was crazy. I was crazy at the time, but not in the way that you thought. I was lonely.
You were inexperienced in love.
Yeah.
And you only had, you know, movies to really
go
off of. And I feel like that's actually a problem in a lot of relationships because
especially gay ones.
Expectations.
Well, and there's no representation.
Of what you know.
Right.
And
at the time,
it's like
there was no representation.
It's like everybody who watches porn growing up, and then you get your first time, and
and it's not like
it
that.
To be
yeah,
this, you know, 30-minute venture, and you've geared up, done all the squats, did everything,
you,
got on birth control for 6 months.
You took your protein,
all those things, and then you do the action, and it's like,
wow, I'm gay.
Yeah, and there's so many moments that I picked up from like media that it ended in that same kind of result. And I feel like it's time to talk about those things, you know, because life is not
TV.
That way.
No, not in any way, shape, or
but
form.
But it's still, it can be so great, even with all the imperfections.
Yeah.
I'm happy you're out of the closet.
Oh, God, me too. It was so stuffy in there.
Sometimes it.
Just call me Harry Potter.
Just call me Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
My mom always called him Henry Pothead.
Henry Pothead.
Henry Pothead.
That's the Temu.
You're
version.
A
oh,
wizard,
excuse me.
Harry.
Excuse me, it's Temu, not Temu. I learned that at the Super Bowl.
It's Temu?
It's Temu, apparently, not Temu. I don't agree, but nobody asked me, so. So, yeah.
Anyways, thank you for
coming
out and being here.
You know.
And sharing your story with others. I'm sure that helps a lot.
It could have been funnier, but hell, this life sucks. It's really funny. It's just we ain't got time to sit here and talk about it.
We'll make time, though.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of time.
Stay tuned.